I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike. Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to be talking about today, Mike?
Encountering others on the trail, awkward situations, dangerous situations, sketchy situations with people you don't know out on the trail, maybe? I'm not sure how to phrase it. Stranger. Yeah, stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
Without saying stranger danger.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about in the past, like, I don't really even know how much people are going to encounter this, right? Because mostly the people you and I have come across so far have been pretty welcoming and happy to see you and happy-go-lucky, you know, out there doing their thing.
Right.
But at the same time, like, we all know that there's weirdos out there, right?
Right. So, I mean, there's, yeah, in every situation, there's always that one that ruins it for everybody, so... Type of a thing. So, from what we've encountered, everybody's kind of in the same boat when they're out in the backcountry, especially if they're out in the backcountry backpacking and to set up camp and all that kind of stuff. They've all sunk a lot of money into it. They all want to keep their gear as nice as possible. They don't want their gear stolen, so they're just, you know, looking out for everybody else, all that kind of stuff. So, most people that we have encountered, like you said, well, I'm not even going to say most. I'm going to say all people that we have encountered so far have been very friendly, looking out for each other, helping each other, all that kind of stuff. So,
but having said that, right from the get-go, you and I have considered, like, okay, you were out there, just the two of us. Neither one of us are huge guys, right? And right from the get-go, one of the things that we planned for was, all right, what happens if you're out here in the middle of nowhere and you come across, whether it be a weirdo, whether it be somebody out there intentionally looking to do something mischievous? Like, you and I have planned for that sort of thing since day one. Right. Like, what are we going to do if that situation were to happen? Because, again, you're out there
miles
by yourself.
Miles from anything. Yeah. So,
right. So you kind of need to be able to, I don't want to say take care of yourself, but at least have a plan, you know, if you were to encounter something that was a little bit sketchy.
Right. So why don't you let us know what are our things that we kind of plan on? Like, or not plan on, what are the steps we would take to avoid, or if we were encountered by somebody like that, to get out of that situation?
Okay, well, so let's if I understand what you're asking, so let's talk about it like this, right? So I'm gonna go back to, we talked about, like, music on the trail, right? Okay, so let's start with something like that. So we had said in that situation, like, oh, you know, like, we don't really carry earbuds and, or we don't really wear our earbuds and stuff, so, like, one of the things that you and I do is you kind of keep your ears alert, right? I mean, whether you want to call that situational awareness or whatever you want to call that blanket thing, is it's like, I am not doing anything out there as we are walking around that is making it so that I could not hear if somebody else was approaching. Whether that be a friendly person or an unfriendly person, like, or a beast of some
sort. Unless they're joggers and they sneak up on you.
Unless they're joggers and they sneak up behind me, and I don't really have a good excuse for why I didn't hear that coming.
But we do try to hear, you know, if an animal is running around, you can hear the leaves or the ground rustling or whatever. You can hear those types of things, so you are aware that you're out in the middle of nowhere. Hey, I want to hear that stuff. I want to hear nature. I want to hear that. But you also can hear the footsteps or somebody, you know, breathing heavy coming up behind you that's, you know, out of breath because they're hiking or something like that. Just so you can do the proper thing, let them around if they're catching up on you. But also be aware that they're back there, so you can, if, you know, if something were to happen and they just slow down and just start following you, then you can be like, well, stop, get out of the way, but be prepared to, like, if they come up on you, then you can be aware of that situation too, that it's a possibility.
Yeah, so, like, we kind of keep aware, like, you know, like you and I don't hike. I mean, as much as, let's face it, you kind of have to look at your feet when you're hiking sometimes because it's, you know, it's uneven terrain. There's roots everywhere. There's sticks and rocks and all that sort of stuff. So you do wind up watching your feet a lot. But I know you and I both make a point of picking your head up every so often, looking around, A, to make sure you're still on the path. Right. But also to make sure, like, hey, is there anybody else around? You know, am I walking next to some abandoned building that somebody could be hiding in? Yep. Is there, you know, like, weird stuff going around, right? Like, so I want to make sure as we're walking, I got my ears open, I got my head on the swivel, like they like to say in your self-defense classes or whatever. You know, like, you're scanning your surroundings, know where you're at, know who is around you, if anybody. Most of the times, we don't see anybody.
Well, right.
But if I were to see people, I would make note of it. And then, like, okay, is somebody following you? Or is somebody, like, weirdly keeping pace with you?
Right.
You know, like, there's that sort of stuff that we don't really run into, but I could foresee running into.
Right.
That. So, well, I would want to take note.
Like, we made a note. I mean, when we were on the trail back, it was either last spring or the fall before. So I forget when it was, but we were over in the Bowman Lake area where we did a couple of trips, and there was I think it was the Spring Lake one where it was just the one overnight. And on our way back, we were looking for the spot that we wanted to take a break at, and these two girls, like, they were huffing it, and they went past us. They got around us, and then they stopped, took a break, and then we ended up passing them. And then, of course, they caught back up to us. We let them around again. And so just being aware of that, like, make note of, like, who you see. So, like, if you do catch up to them again, you can keep note. Make sure you can help them if they're in a situation where they're not for doing sure. so great or something. You can try to assist with water or whatever, and or know that, you know, there are other people on the trail, so you just be courteous to that. But you just pay attention to your surroundings, take note of what they're wearing and all that kind of stuff, just so you know who to look out for, what to look out for. And for yourself too, make whatever you're wearing notable too. Like, I try to wear a little bit brighter colors sometimes, just so if somebody did need to spot me or whatever, it's easier to do.
Right. So then, I mean, so that's kind of like the, you know, situational awareness part of it. But then what happens, like, if you were to come upon somebody that was acting strangely or was being confrontational or something like that? I mean, I think the big thing, right? So I guess I don't know where to go with this. So, first, hopefully you're not by yourself, right? Well, like we've talked about before, I mean, for various safety reasons, it's not always the best idea to hike by yourself. Right. I know some people do, and if that works for you, good on you, whatever.
Have your own plan.
You and I typically hike together.
Have a plan.
So there's at least two of
us. If you're
going
to do it by yourself, have a plan. Make sure that people know where you're at and, you know, when to expect you. But
yeah. And then I guess if you have any sort of self-defense training, I mean, good on ya. Mike and I do not necessarily have any sort of, you know, like, I'm not secretly involved in a fight club. I've never taken self-defense classes.
Didn't even do karate as a kid.
Exactly, right? Like, I didn't even, didn't do anything like that. So, you and I take, I don't want to call them weapons, but things that could be used as weapons, right? Like, first and foremost, the one thing that we take primarily for critters, we take bear spray.
Right.
But you and I have also said, like, if anything ever really popped off, regardless of the legalities of it, and I don't know what the legalities of spraying a person with pepper spray or bear spray is, but if it was somebody trying to attack me, I'm not entirely sure I would care about the legalities of spraying somebody with bear spray. If that's what I had on me to defend
myself. Protect yourself
and
then deal with it later type of a thing,
Right. Right. So, like, we carry that. I think regular pepper spray would probably be a good thing to carry, although you and I do not carry that.
We don't carry that, and that's another thing. You need to check your municipalities and all that. Check the legalities in your state or your whereabouts to if it's legal for you to carry pepper spray, because I do know that there are some places where it's not legal.
Oh, yeah. Is that true? I didn't know that.
Michigan, I believe it is legal. You don't even need your CPL for pepper spray, but some areas you do need a permit to carry.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that, so that's good to know. But then in addition to that, we've talked about, like, when we go to bed at night, right? Because you're out in the middle of nowhere in the dark. Right.
Somebody could sneak up on you or something, yeah.
Somebody could sneak up on you or whatever. We have talked about, we have our... It's a multi-tool, but it's basically our poop and shovel.
Right.
We've talked about it before. So, like, Mike and I both keep a section of the handle of the poop and shovel. Right. This shovel that we have, it, like, comes in four different pieces, and you screw them all together, and it makes, like, a fairly decent-sized shovel. But Mike will keep two pieces, and I'll keep two pieces at my tent, and then you can kind of use it as a bat or a,
yeah,
you know, a...
The
police baton type thing, well, or whatever. Like, if somebody was coming up on you.
The one end has the shovel end on it, and because we don't break that down, if you got to poop in the middle of the night, you don't want to be like, ah, crap, now I got to screw this thing back together. We keep that together. Right. So the shovel's ready, but that shovel has a serrated edge on one side. It's got a sharp blade on the other side. It's got the point for the spade. So, I mean, you could definitely do some damage with that if you had to. And then the other side is just, it's not lead, I don't think, but I mean, it's basically like in the game.
No, I think it's probably aluminum, I would think.
It's a heavy enough.
It's heavy. Like, it would hurt if somebody, if you hit somebody with it would hurt.
They'd
have
to be like, it was Mike in the woods with the lead pipe, so.
Right. But, so we carry that, and, like, at night when we go to bed, I don't know exactly where you keep yours, but I keep it right by the door of my tent. So, like, I'll put my shoes right by the door, and then I'll stick that in, like, the heel of my shoe, which I maybe shouldn't tell people this if I'm putting it on
If
air,
you're a weirdo,
but, you know,
we don't
like,
want
I keep
you
it right there. So if I'm getting, I know it's always in the same spot, I could find it even in the pitch black, because it's always, you know, one hand away right there in that spot. Okay, so then the next thing is, and I didn't want to bring this up, but then I kind of do want to bring it up. So do we want to touch on people carrying guns? Like, you and I have talked about, we both have our CPL. We've talked about, do we carry a gun? Do we not carry a gun? I don't really want to get too deep into the weeds in the gun conversation, but
right.
Let's face it, a gun is a personal protection device type thing.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on carrying guns?
So, I mean, like you said, we have our CPLs. Personally, fine. If you want to carry yours, make sure that you know where you're carrying it's allowed, whether it's federal, state, private, land, right, whatever. There are different rules behind all that, whether you want there to be or not. So make sure it's legal where you're going to be, but also think about the weight. That's the main reason why I choose not to carry on the trail, is that bullets are not light.
Right. The gun isn't light.
the gun isn't light. So there's that. I am an inside the waist, carrier when I do carry, and
right, which is problematic.
Your entire waist is covered by a backpack and hip belts,
right,
and stuff.
Because I'm the same,
like that,
right? Like,
so
normally, it's if I were to carry in everyday life, right, not hiking related, but if I were in everyday life, it'd be in the waistband of my pants in some fashion. Well,
right.
I can't do that with a backpack on top of it. You know,
right? Well, and then it defeats the purpose. For while you're on the trail, if your gun is in your backpack, because that's not easily accessible.
Yeah.
So if you need it in a pinch, my bear spray is clipped to my pack. My shovel handle or beat stick could be attached to my pack. Things of that can be easily accessible on the outside of the pack. Your gun can be, too, if you want to open carry. But
you know. But again, you know,
concealed carry,
open carry is legal here.
Check your legalities
in certain right. spots.
It's not legal
but it's
everywhere.
Not legal everywhere. So that opens right. up a whole different can of worms. And then, quite honestly, like, I would be kind of weirded out. Even somebody that owns guns and has my CPL and stuff, I would be weirded out coming upon somebody open carrying on the trail. Like, that's weird to me to see somebody with a gun just hanging out.
Yeah. I don't know that I would be weirded out. I'd probably go talk to the guy about his gun, just be what kind of
yeah.
gun is
it. And then you're the creeper, stuff, and he's going to...
Fair enough, yeah. fair enough.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on that, because, like, carrying a gun is a very personal thing. But like you said, you know, if it's in your pack, how handy is that even? Is it worth carrying at that point? I don't feel like it's a good idea, because, like, what if it starts raining, and then you got a wet gun, and you got to deal with that whole thing? Or, you know, there's just, I don't feel like the trail is the place for it. You can disagree with me, and that's fine. I'm not, like, drawing a line in the sand saying I'm right. It's just, it's not for me.
If you're going into dangerous bear territory, something along those lines, maybe I could see it. But I don't know, like... Realistically, even when we're at a national park or national lakeshore like Pictured Rocks, or going to the main Lake of the Clouds, or is it
Lake of the Clouds?
Lake of the Clouds.
Yeah,
in Porcupine, where that's like the main scenic area, you see maybe 20 people right there. And then, but when you're right there, there's so many people around that realistically pulling a gun isn't the best idea. But two, other people are there to help if something were to go down. So it's when you get away from the quote unquote tourism places or parts of the trailhead, if you are going to one of those, you will see a handful of people your entire trip. Unless you're in a community campground, sometimes we stay in community campgrounds where you got like five or six sites near each other, but then you're seeing those five or six people and you're going to be with them all night, and you will be in numbers. So if one of the campsites is a couple of weirdos or whatever, then you've got three or four or five other sites of maybe not weirdos that will come to your aid, you know? So I just don't see it being necessary to carry, like you said, and you really don't run into that many people. And again, 100% of the people we've encountered have been friendly, and so I just don't worry about it. Maybe someday there will be a day where I regret it, but I really don't see that happen.
We say that we don't worry about it, but we've also talked about it. You know, like, we also have, like, you know, we're keeping the pieces of the shovel. We're keeping the bear spray handy for critters primarily, but also just as personal defense items. Like, I mean, whether that be from animals or people. But then, so then you brought up something, and this kind of leads into it, too. What if you do need help, right? So, like, there are things that we take to let people know if we do need help. So one of the things is... we've talked about it before. We always have an emergency whistle. So that for anybody that's not familiar with emergency whistles, the whole idea behind it is if you need help, if you're screaming for help, your voice is going to give out before you would be able to stop blowing into this whistle. And this whistle is really loud and you can hear it from a long ways.
Right.
away. So even if you think like, oh, I'll just yell for help. Well, eventually your voice is going to give out. Get a whistle. I spent like $2 on these stupid whistles.
I was going to say they are ridiculously cheap.
You and I wear it around our necks the entire time we're gone, pretty much. You know, I mean, it's it's something easy. It is part of our hiking gear. It is always on us. It's if you need help, primarily you and I are within visual sight of each other. But if we weren't, this is a way to alert each other that we need assistance.
Yep. I have never blown into mine because I've never had an emergency. I'm really curious to know what it sounds like.
So maybe when we do the bear spray episode,
we'll do the whistle and bear spray episode.
Right.
I will tell you one thing that this I have tried is you and I have talked about before. We're kind of like techie nerds and Apple nerds. I have the mm-hmm. Apple Watch Ultra. It's got a super loud emergency siren built into it. It is loud. I have trusted
that. That is right. Yeah, you have. I forget. I've got the no longer for sale or soon to no longer be for sale Ultra 2. I think
they're for sale again.
And I've never tried that. Are they for sale?
I think they just disabled the thing that got them in trouble.
Until they...
That's a different podcast. Yes,
whatever. That's an Apple Geeks podcast right. from somebody else.
But then the other thing that we have in addition to that, if things got into a weird thing, and we talked about this in the... did we talk about this in the I Need Help episode? Did we do an I Need Help episode? The emergency SOS feature in the...
Yeah, it was the Know Your Limits episode or whatever.
Yeah.
Where
but so we carry those. So like then if things did go sideways, you know, and you needed help following an encounter or to alert others of a potential encounter, I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly what the rules for using the emergency SOS thing is, but you know, it allows us to communicate with the outside world in the event that we needed to and there was no cell phone signal.
Right, yeah. It allows us to communicate with emergency services. Not with just anyone we want to call. It's a satellite feature built into the phone that will allow you to contact 911. It's not a sat phone. It's not, you know, like a satellite phone you pay for and it connects to the satellite. You can call anyone.
Well, and there's even Garmin things that are not necessarily a sat phone, but they're the little text communication devices and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of options for that if you don't have an iPhone or if you don't want to rely on that. There's other options for either sending out – there's some of them that are real nice where you can just do like a check-in type thing to let people know you are safe with a subscription and all that sort of stuff, of course, because they got to make their money. But there's various things that you can – I don't blame them either. And it is very cool to live in a time where that is an option. You know, for a long time in history, you didn't even have that option. So I get it. Whatever. Make your money. Yay, capitalism. That whole thing. But.
Well, I mean, going back to like the maps thing, too, or the how we do our planning, the app that I use allows me to take a screen grab of this is our start point for the day. This is our end point for the day. So day one. And I'll label it day one, Monday, whatever. Start here, end here, because they don't, you know, our spouses don't necessarily know our exact plans. But so I say we're starting at this and we're ending here. That is where we will be for that day. So if for any reason they don't hear from us for a week or whatever, they know where they need to search. It's super
funny that you bring that up because that's the next thing on my list to talk about. So,
same page today.
Totally the same page. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, though, like we leave, whether you want to call it an itinerary or just a general guide or whatever you want to call that, we leave that information with our spouses. We both have a spouse. There are people listening that maybe don't have a spouse. Yep. I would hope that you have somebody in your life that you could trust enough to leave this information with that would notice if you are missing or notice if you don't check in at certain times or whatever. Leave that information with somebody. Like, hope for the best, but plan for the worst, right?
Right. Like, our trip that where we're going, the two-hearted to Tequamanon, that one there, knowing that Tequamanon, we get shit for cell signal.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to have any kind of communication between the two dates, but just so they know, cause they're going to be in the area, but they'll know approximately where we're at and we're going to let them know we're getting dropped off on Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Like, you know, so don't worry if we're not back, until we're not back by Monday afternoon.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, people often don't think about that as being like a self-defense thing, but you know, having somebody that knows where you're at kind of is in my head, at least, it's all kind of part of self-defense and, you know, have somebody that you can check in with, I guess, is...
Yep.
Let's see. What else do we want to cover in this? We've kind of covered quote-unquote weapons. I guess the other big talking point that I kind of wanted to touch on, and we've sprinkled it throughout this conversation already, but we have all been conditioned by society not to trust your instincts, right? Don't you think that that's true? Like, I feel like we've all been taught, like, oh, no, like, that person's fine, or just let it go, or whatever, but, like...
They're just a little weird, right? But, you know...
Out in the woods, when you're in the middle of nowhere, in the back country, on this trail with nobody around for miles, maybe that's a good time to trust your instincts. Like, if you're getting a weird vibe, trust the weird vibe. I would rather you be wrong and somebody think that you're weird for having... for trying to get away from them than to like err on the other side. Right.
Right. Yeah. Trust your instincts. Ask them to, if it's your campsite, campground, whatever, ask them to leave. Something along those lines. Back in the back country, you can either go back the way you came or keep the other way. So, getting out of the situation isn't necessarily the easiest, because they go that way and you go that way. There's nothing saying they're not turning around and coming back for you, you know, anything like that. So getting out of the situation is not necessarily the easiest, but trying to keep them at bay and of trying to get rid of them or get away from them. If you've already got camp set up, it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you got to either ditch all your stuff and come back for it, or start packing up camp in the middle of the night while they're being weird on you.
But I think that,
but definitely trust your instincts and stay alert. If it means you sacrifice some sleep that night because you are staying alert, then that might end up saving you, though, too.
And, I mean, really, the art of de-escalation is really something to consider when you're out there. Like, I don't know, maybe in your everyday life, you're a bit of an escalator. You know, like, oh, you're looking for a fight, or you're ready to go. I don't know if the woods is the place to do that. Maybe if you're super confident and you're super comfortable with, like, picking a fight out in the woods, okay, maybe if you want to do that, go ahead. I'm not that guy. Like, I'm much more of a... you know, de-escalate, try to calm the situation down, whatever. I mean,
who hurt you, friend? Who hurt you?
It's okay. They're there.
Sharing some nips.
I mean, I don't know though, I'm good at de-escalating, but I feel like that's the better option rather than like egging something on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, if somebody comes at you real strong, you know, just ask them why they're coming at you with that energy when we're all just trying to have a good time out in the woods.
And there is nothing wrong with setting boundaries, right? Like, I'm not saying don't set boundaries. Like, if you got somebody weird, let's say we're in one of those group campsites or whatever, you got Weird Harold over here in the spot next to you, and he keeps coming over and wanting to talk to you, and he keeps coming onto your site. I don't think there's anything wrong with setting a boundary of, hey, I need you to back off. This is our site and our stuff. We'll talk to you over at the fire pit, or however you want to handle that situation.
Right.
I don't think setting a clear boundary, I don't mean a physical boundary, but like a verbal boundary to say, hey, I need you to back up, or I need you to take a step back, or whatever. I think that is a healthy thing to do.
Right.
Not necessarily in an aggressive way, but definitely in a firm way.
Right, for sure. Especially if they come up, they're talking to you, and they start touching all your stuff. Like, I'm a big anti-touch my stuff person.
Don't touch my shit.
So, if they're being a little nosy with your gear and all that kind of stuff, then absolutely. If they're just talking and they're just hanging out and being annoying,
Yeah, hanging out and being annoying is one thing, but that kind of goes back to your instincts, right? Like, if it's, I think it would set off alarm bells for me if somebody was like, well, okay, you're here tonight. Exactly where are you going to be tomorrow? And exactly where are you going? You know, like, if things start getting A, I don't think there's any harm in lying to somebody if they start getting too personal about, like, exactly where you're going to be.
Well, right. But that's, yeah, I guess that's another device you can use is, like, you don't have to tell the truth where you're going, how long you're be there, right. Like, all that kind of stuff. You can fib a little bit to people you'll exactly. never see again.
And I don't care. At the end of the day, you know, we're trained by society not to be the weird person or whatever. And I'm not suggesting somebody get off, totally off the rails. But, like, I don't care if you and I interact with somebody for an hour at a campsite one night. I really don't care if they go home the next day and think that I'm a weirdo. Because I have set clear boundaries. Or I have said I don't want to talk to you. Or...
Unless we tell them we have a podcast and we invite them to subscribe.
Okay, there's that. But slightly different situation.
slightly different. Then you're on your best behavior right. to not be
a weirdo. Here's a sticker with our podcast on it.
It's got a QR code with all of our links to our socials.
Right. But, yeah, no, I mean, like, no, I just think, but, you know, I really do think a lot of it comes down to trust your instincts when you're out there. Like, I'm not good at trusting my instincts in real life, but I feel like when you're out in the woods, that's the best place to listen.
Yeah. Don't go into the trip. Don't go into the situation thinking it's going to be a bad encounter because you listen to this episode. Go into the encounter that it's a friendly coming up to you. They either... You know, 90% of the time, like we said, like we were at the community campground or campfire, the very first time, and we were talking about different tents and equipment and all that stuff. The girl had a two-person, I forget the brand now, I have it written down somewhere, but she had a two-person tent, and I was like, I was actually just looking at one of those, and she said it was an ultralight that weighed less than my single-person tent. So I was like, do you mind if I go look at it? Like, I asked permission before
exactly
I just went sneaking on
her
site.
What I was going to say. Yeah. You didn't just go to her campsite and start touching her shit.
Right.
It was, would it be all right? Do you mind? You know?
Yeah. Do you mind if I take a peek at that? Like, because that's something I am interested in purchasing, and I've been looking at a lot of two-person tents to get out of my one-person tent. So,
but I think that's the right way to do it, right?
Like, nope, there's nothing wrong with
you're asking
tent,
permission.
Yeah.
You're not barging yourself into a situation where you might potentially be making somebody uncomfortable.
Well, and the conversation came up naturally about different equipment. You know, what do you use? All that kind of stuff. It wasn't like I was watching her set up and be like, oh, I see you got that ghost, whatever, two-person tent.
I mean, that goes back to the joke, like, how do you know that you're... How does it go? How do you know that you're talking to somebody that's an ultralight backpacker? They'll tell you. You know?
Oh, yeah. They'll tell you.
So, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. She was bringing it up.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, I say that it came up naturally. It was forced onto us from her. She was very nice. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, she definitely wanted us to know that she was an ultralighter now. So anyway,
you handled that correctly. You asked her, you know, it came up organically. And again, you've said this, I've said this. Everybody we have met out there has been nice and friendly and... You know, I don't want to discourage people from going out on the trail. It's just, these are things that we plan for. If you come across somebody that's creeping you out, listen to yourself. Yeah. Listen to that inner gut that you've got that says, hey, this person's creeping me out.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away, change your path, change your pace, whatever you need to do. Just try to stay safe. So. Yeah.
Trust your instincts. That's number one, and do everything you can to be safe out there. So,
yep, right.
So, speaking of being creeped out on the trail, should we tell the story of how somebody may or may not have creeped a couple girls out on the trail?
If you want to tell the story, this is your favorite. You can go right ahead and tell it if you want to. I have a different take on the story, but you go right ahead. If you want to tell the people, you go right ahead.
Well, this happened to be our first trip. It was the Porcupine Mountains. We had a loop planned. The very first night we were out there, we met a guy, and then his kids, they were filling up water at the lake, and we ended up, you know, there's like, it's a smaller lake with reeds and everything, and there's like one access point, so we're standing around waiting and letting them get their water, and then we're gonna get ours. The kids were already wasted.
Now, again, this was our first trip.
Right.
I think it was the first night of our first trip.
It was the first night of our first trip. So, like, our first time filling up water and, like, yeah.
Neither one of us were super gung-ho about wading into this, like, murky, gross water.
Right. So, you know, we're talking to the guy, the dad and everything, and the kid is just like, you guys fill it up? And we're like, yep. So, we handed them our bag. They were doing the water bottle, the squeeze filter thing into different water bottles, but we had to have our bag, and so he got the bag full and gave it back to us. It was easy peasy, and we were done way before they were. So we go back to camp and have our night and everything, and then next day we're gone. We get to a water crossing, and so it's about time for lunch, so we sit down and we have a few snacks, and this was, again, our very first trip too, so we were way overpacked and overloaded. But so we're getting some water out of the stream and getting our water bottles filled back up, our bladders, everything. And they caught up to us, the same guy and his kids and his wife. We had just now met his wife, you know, again, super nice family talking to us. And they're like, oh, we must be going the same direction. We're like, oh yeah, we're headed to this site next or whatever. And they're like, no kidding, we're right next to you again. I'm like, okay, cool. So they beat us. No, we beat them to camp because they took a longer lunch with the kids and everything.
Right.
So we ended up taking off. We get to camp, and then they come trucking through about a half hour after us. And they're, you know, saying, you know, hi, it's nice, you know, nice running into you, blah, blah, blah. Well, we come to find out with another conversation, they're going to the exact same spot for our last night. Like, we planned the exact same loop.
Right.
As they did. Never met these people, but we're like, well, we must have done something right for our first trip. Like, these experienced hikers they took the same loop as us. So, made us feel pretty good. Well, they come and find out that one of their kids' practices got moved up a night or a day or something like that, so they can no longer stay that last night. They've got to hoof it the next morning all the way back to the car, which is it was going to be 6 miles to the site plus another. So they're going to go at least 10-12 miles to get back to the car.
Right, right.
And then they got to drive 10-12 hours to get back to the part of the state that they're from. And so we had just happened to know that this campsite next to us was vacant the night that we were staying at it, like in the
Which,
one
full
next
disclosure
to
I was happy about
well
full
yeah
disclosure,
yeah no
was super happy to have an empty site next to us because we weren't gonna have nobody next to us.
Right. So fast forward to us getting through the day and everything, we're at our last night, we've got camp set up, we've got we're sitting there having some nips of our whiskey, we got a fire going, it's about what, 45 minutes, half hour to dark. It's very, very dusk.
It was starting to get dark. It wasn't dark, but it was definitely starting to get dark.
You didn't need your headlamp yet, but it wasn't a bad idea to have it on for when it got there.
Right.
So we see these girls come trucking through, and mind you, we've got two campsites in this part of the park, and there are a total of five, but the other three are a good 3 to 5 miles away. And probably 5 to 6 miles away. But I don't even think three is doing it any justice.
I would say a good five, yeah, if not more, to the next set of campsites.
Right. And so it's going to be a good hour and a half before you even get there, depending on what your site is. And then you got to get set up. You got to, you know, go through your whole rigmarole. So Sean, being the helpful hiker that he is, goes and accosts these girls.
I did not accost them. That is not the right word. I did not accost them. I approached them from a distance.
And just happened to yell, hey, were you two headed? Oh, that's pretty far. This site right next to us happens to be vacant tonight. Maybe you should consider staying there.
I was being helpful. Mike's version of the story makes it sound like I was being some creeper trying to get these girls to stay next to us. I was being helpful.
I understand where your intentions are. It's just the way it came off and the way that I personally remember it. Because I'm not saying that I'm inappropriate a lot or whatever, and I might be, but like, I just, my mind just went to, Sean, you cannot say that.
I know. I know. In hindsight, I get it. Like, I'm like in my 40s. These are like a couple of young college age girls. Now, again, it was getting dark. It was dark enough at this point when they were going past that they already had their headlamps on.
Right.
And like you said, it was like 5 miles to the next campground. Right. So I was letting them know that we knew for a fact the site next to us was empty for the night. So it's not like they would be setting up in somebody's campsite that was going to show up after them. I was trying to be helpful. I understand that maybe that's not how it came across, but I was trying to be helpful.
No, it's, I love that it's from our very first trip, and that might be why I keep going back with you, because it's always entertaining.
Now, in all fairness, if those girls were creeped out, they listened to their instinct and kept going.
Fair enough.
Set a clear boundary and said no thank you and kept going. So
I think it was a no thank you, we're good. They picked up the pace a little bit.
I do wonder whatever happened to them. I know there is no way of knowing, but do wonder, like, did they get all the way to their campsite? Because I think I even asked him, what say are you stopping at for the night? Which, again, could sound creepy. I understand that now, hindsight. But
where are you guys going to be tonight?
I think we even asked him, and that was the one that we had gone past, like, at lunchtime was where they were trying to get to.
Yeah.
So
it was a little after, but yeah. I mean, it was at least an hour, hour and a half at our pace.
At our pace during the day when you can see what you're doing. And they were getting into nighttime.
Yeah.
I was trying to be helpful. I stand by. I was trying to be helpful.
We all appreciate helpfulness on the trail. I'll put this out there. They probably don't listen to this podcast. People that know them probably don't listen to this podcast. But if there is a chance that you know a couple of girls that in 2021, August of 2021, were in their early 20s, mid-20s maybe, and have a story of this creeper guy on their first night of camp in the Porcupine Mountains, we would love to hear from you, because we want to know that they're okay.
The other side of that story.
Well, I want to know that the other side of the story, and I want to make sure that they're okay. I think of that story at least once a week, and I end up just thinking, I'm like, I wonder what happened to them.
Yeah, I do wonder what happened to them. And I think you're probably right. That story does stick out because that was our first trip.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, realistically, I remember all of our trips.
It's a good story. It's funny. We all know that the intent was pure. We know on this side.
Right.
Of it. We don't know that they know that. So.
Yeah.
Well,
that covers pretty much everything that I have on my list related to, like, stranger danger type topics. Did you have anything else on your list that we didn't cover?
No. Again, I just reiterate, don't let this deter you. If you're planning your first trip and you're listening to this going, oh, it's not safe out there, it is. The woods are safe. Nature is safe. Don't let it deter you. Just be prepared that just in case. Just like going to the grocery store. Going to the grocery store is safe. But you never know. So just be prepared. Be safe. Keep your wits about you and trust your instincts.
Right. As always, if anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that we said on here, you can reach us by email at seanmikehike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at Sean Mike Hike. Please rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you are listening to this podcast. It helps get the word out about the podcast and helps us get more listeners. Aside from that, go take a hike, Mike.
Yeah, go take a hike. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, we'll see you guys.